Spanish. Right now, I want you to give a tremendous welcome to a lady whose life has been amazingly, miraculously transformed. She is going to go back into her ugly past. She's going to share things that are not easy to share. At times, like she did in the first service, she might break down and lose it and cry. And I want you, through the whole telling of her story, to be sympathetic and to be praising God, and let her hear your encouragement, because she's going to share things that most people would rather keep locked up in a closet forever. But she's sharing it so that we could give glory to God, and if there are others in similar scenarios, they could come out and be set free by Jesus Christ. So, church, join me as we welcome Tamika. Come on, Tamika.
Okay.
Well, I personally have been looking forward to this day for a very, very long time. Ever since God started the miracle in your life, and look forward to the fact that one day you would be able to share it in totality. And I am sure that God will orchestrate that book that we've talked about, and you'll be able to tell your story to many other people. But Tamika, you did a great job in the first service sharing your story, and I know God's just going to help you cover even those difficult areas of your life. And I want to say from the get-go that Tamika's story is about the environment she grew up in. The people in her story, family, friends, people that she knew, all grew up in a lifestyle that to most of us is not common, but for them it was normal. And by the grace of God, many of them, their lives are changing, and they're not the people they used to be, just like Tamika is no longer the person she used to be. And so, yeah, go on.
Amen.
Go on. Tamika, over to you. In the flyer that we did, we said that your life of drugs started as a 9-year-old. Explain that to us. Tell the congregation how your life started in a life and a world of drugs at the age of 9.
Well, I grew up in a household where drugs was a kind of a normal thing. My parents would try to hide it, but you can't really hide stuff from kids. You can't. We know. And so because of my relationship with my mom, she couldn't move around like she wanted to, so I was often, every week I was sent with an envelope to bring to a dealer, and he would in turn give me a package to bring back.
And this was for, you actually served friends, family, community, and you were only 9 years old.
Yes.
And I would imagine that one of the reasons why they asked you to do it is, the feds would never think of checking or stopping a 9-year-old, never imagining for one moment that you were, in effect, you were a drug mule.
Yes.
Yeah. So go on, tell us, this was every weekend, right?
Every weekend. And that went on for quite some time until when I was 11, 12 years old, the gentleman sexually assaulted me. And I had to figure out a way not to be able to go see him anymore. And so on my way there, I used to pass by other people on the corner selling drugs. And so I approached someone and told them what I was going through. They in turn gave me a package, and so I was not seeing that man anymore, and I became a drug dealer myself.
So you were effectively molested as a 9-year-old almost every, pretty much every weekend up until you turned 11, around 11, and that's when you sought out another supplier so that you wouldn't have to go through that hell.
Yes, that's what happened. I didn't have anybody to talk to. No one was paying attention to me. Right. These are things that I was going through on my own. And if you could imagine the environment where every single person is going through something. My brothers were going through something. My parents were going through something. You know, friends were going, like, everybody was so distracted by all the chaos in their own lives that what was going on with me was unchecked and unnoticed.
Yeah. You know, the sad thing is that Jesus said, the thief, there is a demonic force. And Jesus referred to that demonic force as the thief. And he said the whole plan, the whole plot, the whole system of darkness is to steal, to kill, and destroy. And you lived in an environment where everyone was affected. And church, let me explain to you that you could live in upper class America, but the devil still comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And there are many ways that he sets traps in people's lives. This is just one scenario, one type of pit that he creates for humanity to fall into. But you could be well-educated, well-spoken, and have an excellent job and a brilliant income, but the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he knows how to fit into every culture. He knows how to fit into every environment and every class of living, and he will design a scheme just for your specific environment. Even if it's a higher class, he will design a method of trapping you and sucking you in to a world of darkness. So go on, Melissa, Tamika, continue to tell us your story.
So after experiencing that, I tried to console my own pain with alcohol and marijuana. I started drinking alcohol to the point where I'd be passed out and neighbors would be carrying me inside. I started smoking marijuana at the age of 11, and it was daily use and daily drinking. It was hard because, you know, no one really noticed. My brother Ralph, he noticed, and he said, you know, I would get drunk, and he says, you know, what are you doing? He grabbed me by my shirt one day, and I was drunk at the neighbor's house, and he's like, what are you doing? You need to get home. That was the closest I got to someone seeing. And like I said, everyone in my family was going through things. My brothers have their own testimony.
Right.
And so it was hard for me to even find anyone to express anything to. I was alone. And at that age, I was making adult decisions as a child. So you can imagine every decision I made was wrong.
Yeah. Hey, literally, your childhood got ripped away. I mean, there is no way you experienced, even by American standards, a normal childhood, let alone what God intends for little kids. You just didn't know that world. You were immediately thrown into a world that was extremely broken, and the only remedy for the people in that world was drugs, to get away from their own pain. People didn't see your pain. And as a little girl, you just had to fight for yourself. So at the age of 11, how did you come to have a different supplier?
So I approached a gentleman and I told him what I was going through. He gave me a package and then I learned how to sell drugs. I had to venture out from friends and family into other people because now I have a responsibility to pay this man for these drugs and he wants his money. And so it made me more ambitious in the drug trade.
Right.
I learned a lot and made a lot of connections really early. By the time I was 13, 14, I was passing out bundles. I had gotten a promotion, so to speak, and handing out these packages to people and collecting money.
You had mentioned earlier in the first service that you had attained the status of a lieutenant.
Yes.
Is that actually a title that you would get? That was a standard?
Yes.
So you were, how old were you when you were a lieutenant?
So I was 14.
14 years old. And now you are bundling the drugs and giving them out to other dealers. And was it your job to make sure they paid you?
Yes, it was my job to make sure they paid, and if they didn't pay, I would have to get violent. And so it's strange that I'm this young girl and I'm being violent with adult males, because there weren't many females that were out there doing the things that I was doing at that time. Right. And so it was easy to be violent towards those males because of what I had experienced when I had been sexually assaulted. The anger inside of me was so big, it was so overwhelming that it really controlled everything that I did. I was very, very angry with everyone.
So this anger brought up violence inside of you. At the age of 13, you're doing this here, and then you get promoted again.
Well, I moved at that age, so I'm not moving around by myself. I'm moving around with my parents. We moved to another part of Connecticut, and so I was able then to talk to this gentleman, and now I'm seeing his supplier, and I learned how to buy drugs on my own, and I never worked for anyone again. I started doing my own thing. I learned how to package everything on my own. I learned the whole ins and outs.
How old were you?
I was 15.
15 years old?
Yes.
And you're running your own enterprise?
Yes.
Girl, you ought to go into business now. You really learned how to turn a trick. So, 15 years old, you are now gathering your own dealers, and you're cutting the drugs and packaging the drugs for them to go out. So now the onus is on you even more, because they're going to rip you off.
Right, right. So at this time also, like, I'm feeling empty because I'm watching people around me, and they're like having boyfriends and girlfriends, and I kind of wanted to, I wanted love. I didn't know what love was, and I didn't feel like anyone around me truly loved me. No one was really concerned with me. I felt like I was alone in this world. And so I had a baby at the age of 15. And then I had another baby at the age of 17. And through this whole time, like, I'm having these kids and I'm still in the street selling drugs. I'm still out there doing all these things. And I'm one way when I'm with my kids, and then I'm another way in the street. So you can imagine there's an identity crisis there because I don't know who I am.
Wow. And this was just normal to you.
This was
life.
It was normal to me, very normal to me. I didn't see anything wrong with it. I didn't have any gauge of right and wrong, none whatsoever.
I could imagine that at the age of 9, being sexually abused every weekend and living in an environment where everyone's broke, your moral compass was totally shattered.
Non-existent.
Wow. So you were arrested approximately, if I have the facts straight, 150 times, give or take. And a lot of your arrests were for violence.
Yes.
So explain that to me.
So, you know, if someone doesn't pay, you have to do something about it. If you don't do anything about it, everyone is going to rip you off. My voice sounds like a little girl's voice. My face is pretty. Who's going to respect me? No one. But they respected the violence that I put upon people. They said, she's crazy, leave her alone, give her her money.
So your whole family knew you were crazy?
Well, you know, that was the general consensus. Leave Tamika alone. She's crazy.
Well,
yes.
Let's find out if you were a little bit crazy. So the first time you ended up in jail, what happened that caused you to go to jail?
So I have a cousin, and he stole from everyone in my family. And I grew up watching his behavior, and I always said, if he ever steals from me, he better not. And he did. And so when he did, I felt everything inside of me saying, I have to make an example out of him. I have to make an example out of him. I can't let him get away with it. And so I went with a gentleman and another girl, kicked down his hotel room door. And I'm going through the drawers of the hotel room, and I keep finding these little red bags that my drugs was in, the drugs that he stole. And I'm getting more and more infuriated because I'm finding all these bags in all these drawers. And so he says, I'm going to go across the hotel to go get some money from my boy over there. He goes. Now his kid and the mother of his kid is there. And I'm so infuriated seeing all these crack bags, I start beating on her. And I'm beating on her with everything I could put my hands on. The iron, cans of beans, whatever. I'm knocking her out and slapping her, waking her up, and knocking her out again, slapping her, wow, waking her up. I drag her outside, because now I'm like, he's taking too long. So I drag her outside. She's passed out, leaning up against the car. I tell this girl, watch her while I go to the other side to go see what's taking him so long. So I get over there. He says to me, I'm not giving you your money. What are you going to do? I looked to my right. There's in my peripheral a big knife on a TV. I just grab it. He runs into the bathroom, and I just start stabbing him. He gets airlifted to the hospital.
How many times did you stab him?
Six or seven.
Six or seven times. And he got airlifted?
Yes. He was in critical condition in the hospital. He almost died. And this is my first cousin. It's not my second, third. This is my first cousin that I did this to. And I didn't have a feeling about it that I was wrong. None whatsoever. I hid from the police for a little while, and then eventually I got caught. When I got caught, I found out that I was pregnant with my third child, and I'm 21, and I'm in prison.
Wow. So far in your story, church, this is crazy, isn't it? How unfortunate. A little 9-year-old child being raped every weekend, being thrown into a world of drugs, having to fend for herself out of necessity not to keep being raped. She finds another drug supplier on the streets and starts hustling herself and just goes through the ranks of promotion. And this is all you knew and understood. Where did all that violence come from?
I was angry about what that man did to me. I was really angry. And then I had this thing with men that I wanted a relationship and I wanted love, but I also hated them.
Yeah. Tamika, we understand. And I want to take a moment. You know, we're not dredging this up to put Tamika on display, but it is so important. There are things that we hide in a closet in our lives. And we could put a facade on and people think everything's okay, and everything isn't okay. Sexual abuse to young women and to young boys is very common, extremely common. And I want you to know that if you've been hiding those secrets in your heart, God was never a part of that. God doesn't hate you. One of the things, Tamika, I have found as I've counseled over the years is that the devil does vicious things to us, and then, like rape, okay, or assaults, whatever, and then he makes us feel like we're the dirty, guilty one. You went through that, didn't you? And I want to tell you today that if the enemy has used people to destroy your life, to wound you, to bring trauma to you, please Don't let the lie continue. Don't continue to believe that you're the guilty person, you're an ugly person, God could never love you. That is a lie from the pit of hell to keep you locked up in an emotional closet. Jesus Christ has come to set us free. And Tamika shares these very sensitive, private areas of her life in the hope that others will hear this and get counseling and learn how to be free so that God can just start to heal your life and turn you into the person you were always meant to be. Can I get an agreement?
Amen, amen, amen.
How many of you can show Tamika some appreciation for her being willing to tell an ugly story? Amen, amen. Amen. Tamika, you're not just telling this story to show what God can do, because we're going to get to the after, when Christ came into your heart, but you're telling this story so that other people, maybe they didn't go through what you went through, but they've gone through other things that have brought shame and a curse, and you telling your story is so that they have a chance to be set free. We're so proud of you, so proud of you. So here you are, your cousin gets airlifted. He was stabbed 6-7 times. By this point, I think your family had good reason to think you were a bit crazy. And you were. I mean, hate and anger and violence because of the violence that was done to you as a child. Listen, as a child, you don't have to have a moral compass to know that when somebody is sexually abusing you, that there's something desperately wrong with it. And while you may not want to tell anyone, all of this sense of injustice, all of this anger, all of this indignation is welling up. And at the same time, you feel dirty. You feel like you're guilty because of that. Something has to give somewhere. And in you, it manifested in anger and hate and violence. You told me in the earlier service that you beat this girl so badly that... What did she see when she looked at you?
She said she saw the devil in my face.
She literally saw a demon. And that wasn't just a comment. It affected her so severely. What happened?
She changed her life.
She went straight. Because she saw the spiritual forces of darkness at work inside of Tamika's life. Wow. How many times did you end up in jail?
5 times.
And how many years did you actually spend behind prison bars?
A total of 13 years.
13 years inside a jail. And here she was, an innocent little 9-year-old, born and in a very unfortunate situation, and then just abused on top of abuse on top of abuse. You were telling me also that your violence, in one of your violent moments, somebody else didn't pay. And what happened in that situation?
I went searching for him. I found him at his child's mother's house. I went with a gentleman, had him kicked down the door, and we hung him over the 3rd-floor balcony until she said she'd pay.
Wow. And so the intention was that if he didn't pay, you'd make an example of him.
Yeah. I didn't mention this the first service, but if you could imagine, I'm in prison and I encounter his kid's mother. I didn't remember her at all. She approaches me, she says hi to me, she's talking about my sister, so I know she knows me. But I'm still like, where is this girl from? Where do I know her from? She ends up getting moved to the housing unit that I'm in. We end up chatting, and I'm still trying to figure out, who is this girl? She reminds me that I did that to her kid's father. How could I forget something so crazy? How could I not remember?
Right.
And so that's just to show that every single day of my life was chaotic. Never did I have a moment of rest and peace where something wasn't going on. If you asked me where I was going to be in the next 5 years, that was the hardest question for me to answer. I couldn't imagine 5 years, let alone 5 minutes. So it was a lot of consistency and a lot of bad things happening for a long time.
Just totally messed up your head and your emotions. You know, young people are fascinated with movies about the zombies, the living dead. Would you describe yourself as the living dead back then?
I was walking dead. I was. Yeah. Absolutely.
How horrendous. How horrendous. So, Tamika, you ended up having a total of 4 children. Mm-hmm. But you also ended up having a number of abortions. How old were you at the first abortion?
The first abortion, I was 19.
19 years old. All right. Now, I bring that up because it's an important and integral part of your story. Finally, after being arrested as many times as you were, 150 times arrested and in jail for a total of 13 years, did you say?
Yes.
13 years. You kept trying to go straight. What was it like trying to go straight?
Everything that kept happening was showing me that that was not possible. And the last time I was in prison, we'd have church services. And so I would go not to hear the word, but to meet with other people and pass contraband. This one service, this lady was up there and she looked so gaudy. She had this big old hat on. She was like all this makeup. She was just like extra everything.
Over the top.
Yeah. But she looked beautiful at the same time. It was strange to me. So she caught my attention and I'm listening to her talk and she starts talking about how much she loves Jesus. And I'm looking at her and I believed her that she loved Jesus. And I hit my friend and I said, what does she mean she loved Jesus? She can't see him. She can't touch him. How she love him? What'd she love him for? So it piqued my interest. And so I got a Bible, which I still have to this day, the same Bible I brought it home from prison. I bring it here with me every Sunday. I took it home with me and I started reading it and I didn't sell drugs. But I started getting really, really sick. And I couldn't hold down any kind of food.
So here you are, you're going straight. You're not selling drugs. Now you're trying to do the right thing. So where the enemy had you tied up in a life of selling drugs, now you're trying to go straight and he starts affecting you with sickness. How severe was the sickness?
I would spend about a week every month in the hospital getting hydrated via IVs and whatnot. I would stay there for about a week at a time. When I would go home, the challenge was drinking water to stay a little bit hydrated. On a good day, I could have a little bit of oatmeal, and I'm talking about like maybe a cup. On a great day, I could have some rice and a banana. My stomach had no bowel sounds, no movement. Every time I went to the hospital, they kept saying, we don't hear anything going on over there. My stomach wasn't fluctuating at all. But I was still alive. I was malnourished, vitamin deficient, and 90 pounds. And I'm still alive, but no quality of life. So they in turn told me that this is all in my head. And so they put me on a slew of psych medications. And now I got a visiting nurse coming to see me every morning to make sure that I take these 26 pills that they've prescribed me. I gained so much weight. I'm 250 pounds and I'm dumb and stupid. I don't know where I'm going when I'm driving. I'm slow to respond to people. I was just a totally different person, not the wow. violent me anymore that even could formulate a plan of anything. I couldn't even focus on where I was going. I was 250 pounds and still couldn't eat food. So this is all medication weight. My life was just horrendous. And so my family, trickled here to Florida. And the last one was my Uncle Jim. He left, and I said, I'm not staying here. I can't be here alone. He's the only one I have. And my older brother came, got a rental, picked me up. I put my clothes in garbage bags. Me, my dog, and my daughter got in the van, and we came down here to Florida. Here, I took myself off all the medication, cold turkey. I just quit them all. It was rough, and I did it. I didn't know why I was doing it, but I was like, you know, I don't want to be on all these medications. I want to have a clear head. I didn't have a clear head. And so I stopped taking all the medication, and I start losing all the weight again, and I'm throwing up all over again, and I'm sick all over again, and I'm in the hospital all the time all over again, and I'm sick and tired, beyond sick and tired.
I ask a question. Did you ever try to commit suicide?
Throughout my life, numerous times, but this last time, it was April 2016, I should have been dead because the medication that I took, Ambien, I took the whole bottle. I took a whole bottle of Percocets. I took a whole bottle of muscle relaxers. I wrote a letter to my kids, and then I woke up in Dunedin Mental Ward. And I'm upset because why am I still here? What am I still doing here? What in the world could be my purpose when my life has been horrible from the very beginning? My heart was broken before I was even 6 years old. I have the memory, and it's still to this day, it hurts me. I started calling on Jesus. I didn't know how to pray. I started asking him, what am I doing here? What am I here for? And I didn't know how to pray, but I would say, why am I here? And I would hear this song, there's power in the name of Jesus. And it was like banging me in the head because every time I turned on the radio, every time I turned on the TV, it was the power of the name of Jesus. And so I started just saying his name. Over and over and over again, all day long, over and over again, just saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And so I would drive by here and see the church, and it caught my attention every time I would drive by. And I would always wonder, like, you know, what's in that place? And, like, just not nothing fancy going on the outside, but I still was intrigued and curious. And then my Uncle Freeman moved here, and my uncle bought me a daily devotional from your church.
So here's the story. We had taken a break from Wednesday night services. On the door it said Wednesday night services, and it was during the summer vacation period, so we had put the Wednesday nights on hold. And this particular Wednesday night, I had asked some of the pastors to meet me, and we were having like a pastor's meeting planning for the future. So we wouldn't have been here, but we were here that night, and the door was locked, and someone's knocking at the door, and it was your uncle. And so he was looking for a Wednesday night service. He had seen it on the door, and so he came that Wednesday night. We normally would not have been here. We were taking a break, but I was holding a meeting with my pastors. So we told him about the church. We gave him some information. We gave him some of those devotionals, The Word for You Today. And they're still available. We give them out for free every month. How many of you ever get The Word for You Today? They're brilliant. And so he took a couple of these home, and you found one on the table.
No, he brought it to me.
Oh, he brought it to
you? Yeah, he brought it to me. He brought it to me. And when I started reading it, I didn't wait for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to come. I read it. It was a page turner.
So this was a daily devotional, but you just read it like a book.
Yes. Each page was speaking to me, each page. And I said, you know what? I got to go there. And even though I was sick, I came. I'd be wiggling in my chair, going to the bathroom, sitting down. And one day, you came to me and asked me if I was okay after service. And I said no, and you asked me if it was my stomach, and I said yes.
And the reason why I asked you, at this point you had asked Jesus in your heart.
Oh, yes.
You had asked Christ in your heart, but you were still very ill.
Yes.
And there had been a little bit of counseling. You were starting to change, but this sickness, this problem, how often would you be in the hospital?
Every month for about a week.
Every month for about a week. And what were the doctors saying?
That it was all in my head. That it was something in my head that some type of PTSD.
So in other words, you weren't really sick. There was no problem in your stomach whatsoever.
They couldn't find anything physically wrong with me. Every single test that I took came up good.
And yet,
every
month,
I couldn't hold down food.
You're in the hospital for a week. A lot of pain?
Yes.
And you were, I think you said, how many pounds were you?
90 pounds.
90 pounds. You were just skin and bones, girl.
I was. You remember?
I remember. You were sitting this particular day, you were in the third row, and you were about where Paolo is, and I came to you and asked you if your stomach was playing up. And what happened?
You asked me if you could pray for me. I said yes, and it was after church service, so a bunch of people from the congregation, they saw demons started manifesting, and they put their hands over me, and now I got a bunch of people praying over me.
So when you say demons started to manifest, church, if you're a visitor here, I want you to know that Jesus casts demons out of people all the time. And just because we're in the year 2024, demons have not gotten educated and they've gone to college and now they're living good lives. Demons still come to steal, kill, and destroy. They are depraved beings who have fallen away from God's original intention for them. And so she's manifesting. When we say she's manifesting, someone else is talking through her. It's a different voice, and it's vulgar, and it's swearing, and it's cursing, and it's saying, I'm not going to come out. Okay? So here she is. She's manifesting. And what happened?
I went home, and my stomach started screaming.
Well, hang on. Before we go there.
We skipped a whole bunch of stuff.
In fact, your whole life, we skipped a whole bunch of stuff. We're trying to shorten this story. Guys, if you could understand, she's giving you highlights, okay? Just like we sing the song, I'll never know what it cost for him to take my sins on the cross. You and I will never understand what every day was like in her life. We have literally only talked about the highlights, if you could call them highlights. So here she is, she's manifesting, and the Holy Spirit said to me, ask her if she's ever had an abortion. And I'm thinking, yeah, no, that's not the Holy Spirit. And I kept praying for her. And the Holy Spirit said, ask her if she's had an abortion. And finally I said, no, you ask her. I mean, here's this woman, distressed, critically ill. The doctors think she's crazy. Now a demon is manifesting and saying, I'm not going to come out. And I'm going to say, oh, by the way, have you ever had an abortion? I mean, think about it. I thought it was absolutely ludicrous. So I'm arguing with God. Well, you know how to talk to her. You ask her. And he said, ask her. And so finally, because the demon was manifesting, I had to get your attention. And so I bound that demon, told him to shut up. And then I patted you on the face like this, Tamika, Tamika. And you finally opened your eyes. I said, Tamika, I have to ask you a really sensitive question. Have you ever had an abortion? And she said, yes, 3. I said, do you understand that that's wrong? She said, yes, I do. Now, before I continue the story, if anyone here has had an abortion, A, it doesn't mean that you have a demon inside of you. B, we're not here to judge you or condemn you. this part of the story is not to shame not even one person in this auditorium. We sin, we fail, we make mistakes. But God wants us to come to a place where we take accountability and get honest and get real. And when we repent, God can bring healing into our lives. And so I asked Tamika, have you had an abortion? She said, yes, Pastor, three. I said, Tamika, now that you're born again, do you understand that you actually took a life? And she's weeping. She said, yes, I do. I said, are you willing to repent and ask Jesus to forgive you for that? Here she was saved. But God was bringing something to the surface and for a reason. God told me to ask this question. I would never just go up to somebody and say, have you had an abortion? Not the kind of everyday question you ask a person while you invite them over for a cup of coffee. But God had asked it because sometimes sin opens a door to demonic activity in our lives. And it had opened the door in hers. And so I explained to her, I said, Tamika, your womb has become a place of death. Three children's lives have been taken, and it opened the door to the demonic. And the enemy has tortured you all these years because he is Lord of that area of your life. And so as you repent, Jesus will not only forgive you, but he's going to set you free. And so she repeated the prayer. Do you remember this?
I do.
Yeah, she repeated the prayer. She's crying, genuinely repenting. And as soon as she repented, I started to bind that demon, and he starts screaming. And so Tamika's gone. Now the demon's talking. And he said, I'm not coming out. I said, you have to come out. She has been covered with the blood of Jesus. That sin that you've been holding on to, you're not her Lord anymore. You're not her master anymore. You have to go because she has put that under the blood of Jesus. And that demon started screaming and he came out immediately. Praise God. Come on, give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. As a result of that, what happened when you went home?
Now, this is the good part.
This is the good part.
My stomach was going nuts. It was growling. It was so loud. Like, I had no bowel sounds for such a long time. So it was nothing I could brush off. Like, this is amazing. Like, my stomach is like...
My stomach's like that every day. Just before I eat. I think it talks in Italian. Mangia, mangia, o fame, God.
So I was nervous. I was still in shock about what happened because I wasn't exposed to anything like that in my past. So here it is, something so dramatic happening to me. And then it explains so much. I ate steak and eggs for breakfast.
Listen, before this, she was a cheap date. You take her to a restaurant, she wouldn't order anything. She'd barely hold down water, let alone a small cup of oatmeal. This girl knows how to go in style when she gets set free. Steak and eggs. And you held it down?
And I held it down.
Listen, that is not a normal breakfast for anybody. Steak first thing in the morning is pretty heavy.
So I was to hold hungry. That down, you are.
90 pounds of you saying, I want to double my weight. So go on.
So I ate that breakfast and it stayed down. And so my fear of eating was subsided because I ate a meal, it stayed down, no stomach pain, I didn't throw up, everything's good. But now I had this man living in my house, and he had did something, and here I go busting his mouth open.
Now, he was a drug dealer.
He was.
You said something really interesting in the first service. You move all the way from Connecticut, or
yes,
up from the north, you move down here, and without advertising or putting an ad in the paper, all of a sudden, drug dealers are approaching you.
Yes.
This is spiritual. We live in a natural world and we think everything is just flesh and blood. I want to tell you that what you see in the natural world is one third of the real world. Two thirds of the world is spiritual. And supernatural forces of darkness were bringing drug dealers to her, and she didn't go looking for it. So you're living with this guy. He's sort of a boyfriend. You got angry with him. And what did you do?
I punched him in the mouth while he was sleeping, and blood was everywhere. Yeah. So I jumped on the phone, and I called Juliet. Hey, you guys were just praying over me, and demons were manifesting. How could I just hit this guy like that? Like, something else got to be going on. You know, she's like, come on. And I'm doing counseling, and this one session was so awesome because I got to feel God's embrace. The whole room was cold and is unmistakable. There's like, I can't attribute it to anything else, no way, because the whole room is cold and I feel his arms wrapped around me. And I thought about the lady with the hat. And I thought about how I thought that she couldn't feel him and she couldn't have a relationship. And how could she not? How could she love him and he's not even there? And you know what? He's there and he held me. He held me in his arms.
Praise God. Praise God. How awesome. So, Tamika, after we cast that demon out, and there were one or two others we cast out later. But after that spirit that had controlled your physical body and made you so sick, you had your steak and eggs. Was it green ham and eggs, was it? No, steak and eggs. Have you ever been back to the hospital for that problem?
No, not at all. I take zero medication. Thank you, God.
Suffice it to say, you're not 90 pounds anymore.
Nope.
Yeah. So God totally healed you.
Yes.
I want you to understand, sometimes we make light of sin. The world loves to make a mockery of the concept of repent. And you'll see cartoons of wild, crazy-looking preachers, you know, repent, the end is near. That's the very thing that will set you free. When we repent for our sin, the blood of Jesus covers our sin, and demons lose their legal right to have control over us. And because that is the truth, don't you think demons are going to inspire people to make comics and to ridicule the concept of a preacher saying repent? Because he knows that's the door to a person's deliverance. And if they don't repent, that's the door to him still having control in their life. The day this woman acknowledged a particular area of sin, God set her free and totally healed her. Come on, give the Lord a round of applause.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Tamika, since then, you did our Bible college here at Grace and Faith. We have a Bible college that's accredited, and you can get a Bachelor of Ministry. It's one night a week for 3 years, and you graduated all 3 years, kept going. What was it like doing Bible college? Did it help you?
Absolutely. I highly, highly recommend it. The biggest reason why I didn't share my testimony early on is because I didn't know why God did what he did for me. I didn't understand it. And so how can I share with you about what God did for me and I don't even know why, right? And so I learned that it's so basic. He loves me. He loves all of us, even in our mess. Like, I could imagine he was waiting for me to surrender.
Yeah.
He was waiting for me to need him in such a way that I couldn't go anywhere else but to fall at his feet.
Praise God.
And falling at his feet changed my whole entire life. Yeah. And now I have grandchildren that I get to teach them about the love of God, the purest, purest love. And when I say, you know, the Bible says God, you know, God is good, and that word is I swear, it's not enough. I don't think I could even figure out a word to describe how I feel about him, about who he is and what he's done for me. I spent 40 years in the wilderness, 40 years of my life of pure hell. And now I'm here, and I get to rest in the arms of the Lord.
Tamika, those of us who know you know that your life has radically changed, and Tamika is now one of the workers in the church. She runs a connect group together with Melissa Jackson, and she teaches in the discipleship class. If you've ever raised your hand to ask Jesus and you haven't into your heart, and you haven't done a discipleship class, you need to do the discipleship class. This is one of the teachers. This is one of the lecturers. But after having done Bible college, there's a really cool story, which just is like one of the crowning jewels in your testimony. There are so many, but you work at a gas station, and you were behind the counter, and you were called to the pump because a lady had
overdosed.
She had overdosed. Describe the condition she was in.
She was gone. Her lips were purple. Her hands were purple. She had no pulse. She was gone. I saw miracles happen here, and I remember what the nurse did to the gentleman. The gentleman was saying, the nurse was slapping him and doing chest compressions and telling him, you're not going to die here. And so
he was dead, and he was at the top of the garage. A truck had fallen on him, and the paramedic kept slapping him on the face, saying, come back, come back, come back, and he'd be sucked into his body, and he's alive again, feeling pain, and then he would die, and he'd be back in the ceiling looking down, seeing the whole story, and she'd be slapping him. She was a born-again Christian. She was a young baby Christian, and she had just come to realize that God does miracles. So she kept slapping him, and he'd come back in his body. And finally, the last time he stayed in his body, we had him here. He did a miracle happens story. He told us his story. So you had just seen that.
Yeah, and so when this happened, I instantly thought of what he was saying about what the nurse did. So I pull the lady out. She's in between the pumps. I pull her out, and I'm pumping, and I'm just, Jesus, 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 slap, slap, Jesus, Jesus, slap, slap, Jesus, Jesus. And she started breathing again.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Here's a woman constantly sexually raped from the age of 9, full of anger, full of hate, nearly killed people, and here she is now, set free, healed, demons cast out of her, and raising the dead. Tamika, most people would find it hard to even believe, let alone to fathom your childhood. But you know today that you are a child of the Most High God.
Absolutely.
And he loves you dearly. Come with me. We're going to talk to the congregation down here. There you go. Come with me. How many of you are amazed at this story? Okay. What a testimony. What a testimony. But you see, the real story is God so loves the world. He loved Tamika. He loves you. If you don't know Jesus in this way, we're not talking about religion. Now, tomorrow night, for the young adults, Grace and Alejandro run the young adults department of this church. And if you've never been, I want you to come. Tamika's going to be there tomorrow night at 7 o'clock here, and she's going to do question and answers with the young adults. Trust me, believe me when I tell you, we haven't heard a quarter. I don't think we've heard a tenth of her story. On April the 22nd, Pastor C is now heading up the high school. They're meeting tomorrow night also. They're having a games night. But on the 22nd of April, Monday night, Tamika will talk to the high school students. How many of you parents would like someone like this to tell your kids don't do drugs? Yes. Come on. Come on. If you have high school students, send them. Send them. And I encourage all the young people and the young adults in this church, tell your friends to show up. If you're a young adult, tomorrow night, if you're in high school, on the 22nd of April, Tamika will be telling her questions and answers. So I think it'll be a really powerful thing. But here's the most important thing. I have a question. I want you to stand. Would you stand? I have a question, and you need an answer. And the question is this: do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You could have gone to Catholic Church your whole life. You could be a choir boy, an altar boy. You could have taken communion. You could be a good little Baptist or Presbyterian. And just because you go to Grace and Faith Church, that doesn't mean you have Jesus Christ in your heart. You see, God knows where he's wanted, and he also knows where he's not wanted. To have Jesus in your heart is not about going to church and clapping and singing the songs. And to have Jesus in your heart isn't to, I believe there's a Jesus and that's it. No. Here's a changed life. Come, stand with me. I want you next to me. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
This whole church is proud of you. Isn't that right, church? Amen. Asking Jesus Christ isn't about being a Catholic or a Baptist or a Presbyterian or Grace and Faith. You have to realize, you have to take accountability for the things you've done wrong. You may not have lived the life she lived. But have you ever held bitterness in your heart? Have you ever chosen not to forgive somebody? Jesus said that if you don't forgive other people, in lieu of the fact that God is willing to forgive us, Jesus said you will be handed over to tormentors. This man sexually abused her, and I'm sure as a little girl, she had every right not to be able to forgive him, but it locked her into a life of demon activity. And her unforgiveness, even though that man doesn't deserve forgiveness and I don't deserve forgiveness, God says that when we forgive, we release ourselves from that demonic stronghold. Every one of us have sinned. Don't play the not me game with me. I've been preaching for well over 40 years, and I sin. Every one of us has sinned. The point is that you must ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. What does that mean? It says, Jesus, I can't do this anymore on my own. I know I'm broken. I want you to come into my life. I'm giving my life over to you. From this day forward, Jesus, live in me, live with me, live through me, and help me to live for you. Jesus said, I'm going to be very honest here this morning. If you're watching online, hear me. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. God became flesh, dwelt among men, and he died on a cross, slaughtered, innocently, but slaughtered, because you sinned and I sinned. Do you honestly think he did all that just so that you could say, yeah, no, I believe in him? No. You're not crazy. He did all of that because only that price could rescue a person out of the dungeon, the kingdom, the empire of darkness. And there is an empire of darkness. All you have to do is read the headlines of what's happening around the world. There are evil forces at work, and some of you have even seen them appear in your childhood. There is a kingdom of darkness. And Jesus said, you need me in your life. If you become a believer, a follower, if you let me come into your life, the old will pass away and the new will come, and I will set you free. If you have never given your life over to Jesus Christ, or if you did it at some time in the past and you've walked away, today is the day of salvation. Right now, this is your moment. The Spirit of God is here to call people back to God the Father. I want you to close your eyes right now and all across this auditorium. Whether you've lived Tamika's life or not is not the point. You've lived long enough to have accumulated sins and regretful things in your life. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to come and live inside of you, if you've never opened your heart and welcomed him in, today Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. You say, well, how does he do that? He'll knock on your reason and he'll reason with you. He'll knock on your emotions and you'll feel a tug and a pull. And your head and your emotions will start to argue. God is trying to get you to open a door, not to sin, but to the sin eraser, Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you to join this church. I am asking you to join Jesus Christ for the rest of your life. Because when Jesus lives in you, life becomes a whole new deal. Jesus said to one of the religious leaders of Israel, a man called Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him at nighttime because he was afraid others would see him. And he said, teacher, what must I do to enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. And Nicodemus said, how can I go back into my mother's womb? Jesus said, no, it's a spiritual birth. You were born once into a world of sin. You were born into the first Adam, but you need to be born again supernaturally. And that can only happen when Jesus Christ comes into your heart. So with every eye closed, whether this is your first time here or your 10th time here or you're watching online right now, the Holy Spirit is knocking. Jesus is knocking on your door. Raise your hand and say, yes, I want Jesus to come into my heart. Thank you. I see that hand to my left. Sir, thank you. I see this hand up here in the middle. God bless you. Thank you for raising your hand. You can put it down. Sir, right here, I see your hand. God bless you. Over here, 5, 6, another one. Thank you so much. Thank you. Who else wants to raise your hand? If you've put it up, you can put it down. Raise your hand now if you want to accept Jesus. There's about 6 people so far. 7 right there. God bless you, sir. Good man. Come on, church. Start to give them a round of applause. This is real. This is real. This is real. This is real. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ to set us free and to heal us from the inside. How awesome. How awesome. How awesome. I'm going to ask everyone in this house, especially if you raise your hand, but I'm going to ask everyone to repeat this prayer with me. And we're going to pray a simple prayer, very simple prayer. And it's going to be one where we say, God, I believe you love me. I don't understand why. And then we're going to say something like, I've made mistakes. I've sinned. Jesus, I believe you died on that cross for me. Today, I'm asking you to come in my life, live in me forever. I am now giving my life over to you. So those of you who raise your hand, I'm telling you up front what we're going to pray. This is never my intention to trick anybody. I want you to know the truth and the whole truth. And the truth will set you free. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Everyone repeat after me, especially those who raise their hand. Dear God, thank you for loving me the way you love Tamika. Thank you, God, for seeing our mistakes, for seeing our brokenness. And yet you want us. You want to be with us. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you for coming to earth in the flesh, in Jesus Christ. Jesus, I believe you are God, and you died on the cross for me. I've sinned. I've made mistakes. And I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me. But more than that, I give my life to you. Jesus Christ, live in me. From this day forward, walk with me. Talk with me. Be with me. Live through me. I'm giving my life over to you. And I thank you, Jesus, that right now, the blood you shed on that cross is washing away all my sin. And I thank you, Jesus Christ, that because I belong to you today, demons no longer have a right to my life. Thank you for rescuing me and giving me a life born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. Today, God, you are my Father, and I am your child. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen.